Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, broadcasting here from St. John's, Arizona. I did schedule the broadcast. I forgot to send out the email notifying everyone. Didn't want to send it out too early. So shalom, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, are you able to hear me? All right, amen. All right. I did schedule broadcasts for tonight and tomorrow. They're already scheduled, but I didn't send out an email on it. So you guys didn't get notified. Anyway, happy Sabbath to you, my sister. All right. I text her. You can give her a call. I text her to let her know that there was a service tonight. And then the program that I use to text people on, I don't have it on this computer. So, yeah, if you could call her and let her know. All right. All right, so we want to greet everybody in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We pray that everybody has had a blessed week. I am currently in St. John, Arizona, and been out on the land most of the day putting up no trespassing signs and walking around the perimeter, finding, you know, the exact borders, the property markers to the land, and putting up no trespassing signs. And so it has been a, let's just say, a strenuous day doing all that walking through those fields. 40 acres is about all that I got to do today. We'll do the rest on Sunday. Won't have a broadcast on Sunday, but we will have broadcast for Sabbath tonight and tomorrow. And so I pray that everybody is doing well. We want to greet those that are in Pal Talk, that are in Blog Talk, that are on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We have the new moon and the Feast of Trumpets coming up this month. It will be on the 25th of the month. And so I pray that that everyone shall be in attendance for the new moon and for the Feast of Trumpets on the 25th of September. And I know that that may seem kind of late for some people, but that is the start of the seventh month in this leap year. So it will be on the 25th. And as we give people time to sign in and to sign on, I don't really have any other announcements. We are going to be doing Citizens of the Kingdom on this evening, and then we will be doing the Times of the Gentiles tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, the Times of the Gentiles. And so I pray that all that are able to attend will be in attendance. I pray that all that will be able to be in attendance will be in attendance. I apologize. I actually thought I sent out the email notifying everyone about the broadcast on this evening. But if you went out on the site and if you checked for any scheduled broadcast, then they were scheduled like yesterday. So let me look at my phone here. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started. With our statement of faith. Let me find my extra set of eyeballs. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, everyone that's on the internet in general. We greet you whether you are in South America, whether you're in North America, whether you're on the African continent. whether you are in the Middle East, whether you're in the Far East, whether you're in the European theater, whether you're in the communist bloc country that tune into us, we greet you. If you're on Hebrew Connect, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. On today, as I was saying, we're going to be doing Citizens of the Kingdom. And we're going to be going through those scriptures. As I said, we're broadcasting from St. John in Arizona, about 30 or 40 miles from the land that we are purchasing. Been out all day putting up trespass signs, no trespass signs and those types of things, and have to finish up on Sunday doing that on the other land. Took some more pictures, and, 40 acres is just a lot larger than what you might imagine it being, especially when you're trying to walk it. It's just huge. We did 40 acres today, and we're going to try to do 160 on Sunday. Okay. So I pray everybody has had a blessed week and that you are ready to hear from the Most High on this evening. And I pray that you have your pencil and paper ready. You may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads as we turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. As we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of God and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father Elohim. We adore you today. We magnify you, O Father. We glorify thee. We glorify thee. We glorify thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are Elohim, and there is none like you, O Yah Elohim. No, not one. A Savior and a Redeemer, a Conqueror and a Creator. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, for loving us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on today and lift you up and magnify your name. Hallelujah. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have done contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you will once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Father, so we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are turning from our sin and repenting from our wicked way. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, deliver us, your people, from this captivity. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that are called in Messiah, that they will hear your voice and that they will come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, pray that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Our scriptures for this evening. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 46, and I will personalize this. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, and we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us, thy people, that have sinned against thee and our transgression, wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant, unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. The book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not have any other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, the Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Hold on a minute. All right. Our song for today.
shelter, roof, nor bread. But unto you that fear my name shall the brilliance of righteousness arise with healing wings.
Let's go ahead and jump into this precept for this evening. The citizens of the kingdom of Elohim. And can I get a sound check? Can I be heard well in the meetings online chat room?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Let us go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And I'm going to read this from three different translations, because when we read it from the KJV, you may not understand that this particular verse is talking about our citizenship. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. In the Amplified Standard Version, in Philippians 3 and verse 20 and 21, we have for the same verse, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subject all things unto himself. And then we have the Young's Literal Translation. Same verses, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in whence also a Savior we await, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who shall transform the body of our humiliation to its becoming conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working of his power, even to subject to himself the all things. All right, so our citizenship, we have to understand that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven and not citizens of this worldly realm. We have dual citizenship. You're a citizenship of the country that you're in, but you also have dual citizenship within the kingdom of heaven. And their citizenship within the kingdom of heaven should overrule in the country that you're in. So we want to take a look at this on this evening because, as I said, with God's Global Kingdom Ministry, the thing that he has been showing me and for, you know, those people who are citizens of his kingdom, that you are supposed to act according to a citizen of his kingdom. And the laws of man don't overrule the laws of the Most High. When you are a citizen of a country, whichever country you claim, when you are living in another country, that other country, you have to abide by their laws, but they don't really have jurisdiction over you. And if you don't know this, then you will submit yourself to them in ways you ought not. Okay. When I was in the military and I was stationed in Germany, when I would go from Frankfurt to Berlin, the East German police did not have the authority to stop us, American citizens. And we were traveling across their country, but they didn't have the authority to stand. We would pull up, you know, this book that had the flashcards in it, and it would say, you know, bring me a Russian soldier. And the Russian soldier would then make sure that you were released because the East Germans, unless you were doing something to break the law, like you stopped your car, and you were taking pictures of some type of convoy or something, then they would have the authority, you know, to stop you. But as an American citizen, they had no jurisdiction over you as long as you were following the laws that were set forth on that freeway. And what they would do is if you left Frankfurt or Helmstedt at a certain time, they would time you. And if you got there too fast, they would give you a ticket for speeding. And if you got there too slow, they would want to know, you know, what took you so long. But you are, you know, you were in their country, but you weren't not bound by the rules of their country. They had no authority over you. We are the same way in the earth. When we become citizens of the Most High's kingdom, we have to understand that we are, the Most High's kingdom is recognized by all the world governments. But you got to act accordingly. You can't be half in the world and half in his kingdom. Because then it's like, who are your loyalties to? Who are you really serving? And so we have to know, as I said, you know, when we are working on the bylaws for the church, that we are citizens of another kingdom. And we are in the earth or in the world, but we're not of the world. And so our authority comes from heaven, and we have to abide by the laws of heaven. And I don't care whether you are a Gentile or a Jew. If you say you belong to the Most High, then you are bound to abide by the laws of the Most High. Okay. So it makes no sense to say, you know, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but I don't keep his law. That just doesn't work. You know, and so we want to look at this on this evening. Let us continue. The constitutional structure of the kingdom of heaven. What is it? Its structure. Go to Colossians chapter 1, and let's get verses 12 through 18. The book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet
to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So you're no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness, which is this world, and you're citizens of the kingdom of Messiah, the kingdom of heaven, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of every creature. Now, we talk about this firstborn in relationship to baptism, okay, and being born of the Spirit of the Most High. So when we, you know, when the world is telling you that there are churches out there that have the doctrine, you're not born again until you receive your new spiritual body. But the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. Then we got to know that we're already citizens and firstborn, new creatures. Okay, Messiah being the first, and we're following after him. Okay. And so we are new creatures. So he is the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or power. He created them all. And for his purpose, to bring about his purpose, you may not understand, why did he create Satan? Why did he create that dominion? Why did he let these evil dictators rule? It's to bring about his purpose. And so he wants to know, who are you going to choose? What do you love? You know, Satan can give you riches and power and glory in this world. He offered it to Messiah. So if he will offer it to your king, he can't offer him something that he wasn't able to give to him. So he can offer it to you. You got to know where your heart is at, what citizenship, what kingdom you belong to. Are you in the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness? Are you chasing after the things of this world, you know, wealth and power? Or are you chasing after the things that the Most High has ordained for his citizens? Okay. So all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. In all things he might be first. I'm going to be the first to be baptized into the kingdom. I'm going to be the king of the kingdom. I'm going to be the first to receive the Spirit in the kingdom, even though he was begat by the Spirit. And he is the Spirit by sign and by wonder. When John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him, it was to show us that he is the first one. Okay, as a sign, even though he already had the Spirit of the Most High, because he is the Most High. So the structure is he is the head. He is the creator. All things were created for him and by him. He's the firstborn of all creatures. So that has to tell you that, you know, when we study Torah and we study the prophets, we know that the Most High, that he created everything alone and by himself. And he said he didn't know any other God. That was to remove from us, Israel, any notion that there was another God doing something. He said, I don't know any other God, so you cannot know any other God. They don't exist. If you know of any other God, you have made them up in your mind. You have listened to some man of some doctrine, and you have come to the knowledge that there's more than one God, when your own Elohim says there is only one, and it's him. And so he's the first. He created everything. All things were created by him. He's the firstborn of every creature. So we know that Messiah is the firstborn. We know that Messiah didn't exist prior to coming into the world in a heavenly body as Messiah. He didn't exist as the Son of Elohim in heaven. This did not happen until he manifests in a body. But while he was in the position of Father, he created everything. Everything that is in the heavens, everything that is in the earth, everything that is visible and invisible. He created all thrones, all principalities, all powers, all dominions from the position of Father. It says, you know, all things are mine. Whatever the Father's is mine. And that's how he wanted us to know him. So to become a kingdom citizen, all nations, including kingdoms, have citizens. All nations require immigration status. That means that if you immigrate from, you know, you want to change nations or you want to go live in another nation, you have to immigrate there either legally or illegally. You are defecting from the kingdom of Satan. If you are still in the world, you were a citizen of the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. In order to get into the Most High's kingdom, then you have to defect from that foreign country, the kingdom of Satan, a dominion of darkness. No longer want to be a citizen in that kingdom. I want to be a citizen in the kingdom of the Most High. Now, As long as you are doing what Satan wants you to do, living a life of sin and debauchery, Satan's not going to mess with you. But as soon as you decide you want to defect, and Satan wants to kill you because you've broken his law. And, you know, defectors are considered traitors. So you first come to the Most High and you come into his kingdom. Usually you start catching hell and you wonder, why is it so hard over me here over, you know, why is it so hard on me over here? Why do I seem to have it worse when I came to God, when I came to Elohim, than when I was in the world, when I was doing what I was doing? And so we might look back and say, well, you know, I just should go back to where I was at. I had it better. But that's the enemy attacking you because you have defected, and he really wants to kill you because he don't want to go to the lake by himself. He knows what his end is, and he knows if he gets you to follow him, your end is the same as his. And he don't have any authority in the lake. It's a torment for him, just like it's going to be a torment for all those that follow him. You know, I've heard people teach doctrine that Satan is going to have, you know, Satan or death is going to have rulership in the lake of fire. That is a lie from the pits of hell. It is false doctrine to the uppermost. Satan don't have a kingdom in the lake of fire. Death doesn't have a kingdom in the lake of fire. Everything in the lake of fire is a lie. It's just being tormented forever. Even death ain't dead. He's being tormented in the lake of fire. But he's a spirit also. His use was done away with. Don't need him anymore. So when somebody tells you that, you know, there's going to be a kingdom in the lake of fire and there's some demonic entity over it, know that they're telling you a lie. They are in there to be tormented. Okay? They don't have an exemption from the lake. And they don't have exemption from the torment of that fire because it was designed for them. So you want to defect from the kingdom of darkness. You don't want to suffer the same punishment as the king of the kingdom of darkness, Satan and his angel. The lake of fire was made for them. Okay, so Wikipedia's definition in politics, a defector is a person who gives up allegiance to one state in exchange for allegiance to another in a way which is considered illegitimate by the first state. So the first state is saying, hey, you didn't leave here legally, and we consider you to be an outlaw. Okay, and the penalty for that is death in that kingdom. More broadly, it involves abandoning a person, cause, or doctrine in which one is bound by some tie, as of allegiance or a duty. This term is also applied often pejoratively to anyone who switches loyalty to another religion, sports team, political party, or other rival faction. When you are talking about just switching business religion, if you were switching from, if you were a Muslim and you became a Christian or a follower of the way, they would consider you a defector. And up under there, under the Quran, their orders are to kill you. Now, we don't have those orders in our Bible when somebody defects from one religion into our religion. But other religions do have that. And, you know, like I said, the one that comes to mind is Islam. And, you know, they will call you a, what do they call it? I'm looking for the word. It's not coming to me off the top of my head, but it will come to me, what they call you. Wow. Okay. Can't remember the word. It will come to me, but they have a word for, you know, Christians and Jews, people who follow God but don't follow Allah. Okay. And they say they have orders to kill you. Now, if you are a practicing Muslim and you convert to Christianity, then they have orders to kill you, okay, because it is considered that you switch sides or loyalty illegally. You're not authorized to do it, okay, according to their belief and their understanding. So if that's the case, then Islam is in rivalry with Christianity and Judaism, even though it's supposed to have the same patriarchs in it, supposed to have the same God, but I know now that it's not the same God. Our God says, you cannot lie. All liars will have their place in the lake of fire, but the Quran says it's okay to lie in certain circumstances. That would be a contradiction of the Elohim that we serve. So they're not the same. Okay, so if you defected from one to the other, then you are a traitor by the original side. So when we defect from the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into the kingdom of light, the Most High's kingdom, Satan considers us a defector. And he will do everything in his power to persecute and kill you before you can take root. Before you can, you know, fully become a full-fledged citizen in the kingdom of the Most High, he will come against you. And if you are weak in faith in your walk, you may go back and find out that you got killed so that you can't defect. Okay? So you want to defect from the kingdom of darkness, and you want to defect into the kingdom of the Most High. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. When you were a citizen in the kingdom of Satan, that's who you gave your power to. That's who you gave your allegiance to. So when you defected from his kingdom, then he had delivered you from the power of that kingdom. That means that you were no longer supposed to be a willful sinner, because that's what citizens in the kingdom of Satan, that's their natural nature. They are carnal, and they are naturally sinners. They naturally love darkness, and you're conveyed or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Messiah, where we as humans, the human race, had been exiled ever since Adam's rebellion in the Garden of Eden. We were exiled from the kingdom of heaven. We got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, which represented the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is what Messiah came to restore, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And in the future, when he fully sits down at his throne, and after the 1,000-year reign, Now, if he destroys all the centers, then we will have Eden back on earth again. But this is what he came to restore. And we've been exiled out of that kingdom, out of the kingdom of the Most High, until Messiah came to give us our citizenship back. At that time, the human race lost citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We lost our citizenship because we lost our kingdom. We lost our kingdom because we lost our property, our territory. Remember, without a territory, there is no kingdom. And without a kingdom, there can be no kingdom citizenship. So the Most High has to make a way for us to get our citizenship back into his kingdom. Let us go to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And let's get verses 1 and 2. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the gospel. You can get your citizenship back into the kingdom. That is the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. You can get access back to it again. You can get your citizenship back. When Yeshua began his public ministry, he announced that the kingdom of heaven had arrived. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Because John didn't come. John was told to announce that God himself, Elohim himself, was coming to Israel. Israel, behold your Elohim. That's who John was to announce. And he was announcing him as the Lamb of Elohim. And he was baptizing and bringing people to repentance so that they could be ready to receive their king. And so that they could be ready to receive the kingdom, their citizenship back. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here to offer you your citizenship back. I'm here to offer you what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. When they sinned, the Most High kicked them out of Eden. Eden represented the kingdom of Elohim on the earth. So Messiah was here to give back what was lost. Not just for, you know, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but what was also lost to mankind, the citizenship in the kingdom. This was the only message he preached. He brought back to earth the kingdom we lost in the Garden of Eden, and he gave us access to it again. We enter the kingdom of heaven through the process that Yeshua called being born again, changing our trust in Yeshua for the forgiveness of our rebellion, and acknowledging him as Lord or owner of our lives. This new birth gives us the kingdom of heaven. I pray we can hear this, because without going through this process and without being born again, you are not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You can come across the border illegally. So when we read the parable, and the Most High says the wedding feast is prepared, and go out into the highways and the byways and invite both good and bad that the wedding feast might have guests. Then he comes upon one, he says, friend, how entered you in here without a wedding garment? That person came there illegally, even though they were bad. They might have even been good, but they came illegally. Okay. And so they were at the marriage supper illegally. You might enter into and say, oh, I believe I'm saved. That's why I said this is one of those areas that you just have to know. You have to know that you know. You want this new birth so that you can get into the kingdom of heaven, that you can get your citizenship. When we repent, we with godly sorrow, and this is the key to this, when we repent with godly sorrow, I have offended the creator of everything. I have offended the creator. That's godly sorrow. When we repent with godly sorrow, we also petition for our citizenship, the receiving of the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. Being the Spirit is what makes us sons of Elohim and citizens of the King. He says, if you don't have His Spirit, He says you are none of His. He tells you have no, you don't have your citizenship. You're not a citizen of the kingdom. You have no right. You know, you can only petition the American government for goods and services unless they want to give something away legally as an American citizen. You can only petition the Most High for anything being a citizen of His kingdom, Him being your king, and you being a citizen in His kingdom, being born of His Spirit. Okay. 1 John chapter 3 and 2. You know, this goes in the face of those who say you're not born again until you receive your resurrected body. But that's not true. Okay. You better be born again before you go into that grave. You better be born of the Spirit of the Most High before you enter into the grave for the final time. If He doesn't come back before that time, and you go to your grave, you better make sure that you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, because it's by His Spirit that He's going to resurrect you. It's by His Spirit that you become His child. And you got to be that before you go into the grave. So in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. You got your sonship and you became born again when you got baptized in Yeshua's name and you received the Ruach HaKodesh, but you didn't receive your new spiritual body yet. You're still in that same old body. So it does not yet appear what you shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I've done precepts to show you how the Most High is going to look upon His return. He has a body that looks like molten lava. You're going to see Him as He is. And you know that you're going to be like Him. You got to go through a change. It's not going to be the same body that you have right now. And people, you know, are thinking, oh, I'm going to have this same body. No, you're going to have a body made out of molten lava that looks like molten lava. There could still be flesh and bone. It won't be flesh and blood. But its appearance will be like molten lava. It will glow. Just like Moses glowed when he was in the presence of the Most High. Okay. So you are born again right now, but you don't appear like you're going to look. And everybody that sees you sees the same old person. Because you're not glowing, you don't have on your glorified body. And so they see the same old person, but they don't realize that it's a different occupant in the house. At least that's what's supposed to happen, okay? You're supposed to be a new creature. It's not supposed to be alive anymore. It's supposed to be dead, the trespasses and sins. So you get that by repenting with godly sorrow and accepting the Most High's plan of salvation. Okay. Constitutional scripture, John chapter 3, verse 3. So let's go to the book of John, chapter 3, and let's get verse 3. Yeshua answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Got to be born again to see it. That's why I say, don't believe any of those doctrines where those brothers are teaching. Because they don't believe in receiving the Ruach HaKodesh the correct way. They don't understand that you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And then you are reborn. You are a son of Elohim at that point. You don't have to wait to receive your glorified body to say you've been born in the Spirit. Okay. So let's read what Messiah said again. Yeshua answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. The focus point of this is the new birth makes us naturalized citizens of the kingdom. It also naturalizes us to the sense that if it returns us to our original nature or natural state of authority and dominion over the earth as Elohim intended from the start. From the very start, the Most High gave Adam and Eve what? Dominion over the earth and everything that was in it. This is what they gave up to Satan when they lost the kingdom. So we have to get that back. Our authority, our dominion over the earth. When we become citizens of Elohim's kingdom, it means that we will voluntarily align ourselves with the new government in a new country, embracing the language, its ideals, and its values. Elohim's constitution of the kingdom is very explicit. Just like America has laws and rules for becoming a citizen of the United States of America. You got to pledge your allegiance to this country. You got to pledge that you will go to war for this country, that you would die for this country, that you believe in the values of this country. Why would you think it would be any different with the kingdom of the Most High? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Constitutional scripture for the kingdom of heaven. Now, therefore, you are no longer strange and foreign, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of Elohim. When you become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you are of the household of Elohim. You are a fellow citizen with the saints. The saints are those people who have been born again. It's not the Catholic definition of a saint. Okay. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Our King is in heaven, where our citizenship is. Our King is coming to this earth to establish his kingdom in the earth or to expand his kingdom onto the earth. That is what Adam and Eve were supposed to first do. That's what mankind was supposed to do, was expand the kingdom of Elohim on the earth. That's what we are supposed to still be doing today. Not just looking for our salvation and not just looking, to be redeemed from sin, but we are supposed to be taking territory. We're supposed to be making new citizens for the kingdom and taking territory, buying land, bringing it up under the authority of the Most High. That is what our mandate is. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. The book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. We are citizens, and we thank the Most High who qualified us for that by giving us his Spirit, by selecting us. Not only does the new birth make us citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but our citizenship begins immediately. Not when you die, not when you're resurrected. It begins immediately. That's why you have to know if you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you've got to act like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. How does the Most High want his citizens to act and behave? He tells us by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, his ordinances and his judgment. This is how citizens in my kingdom behave. Okay. So your citizenship is immediate. We are kingdom citizens right now. Our citizenship is a present reality. You got to walk in that. You got to talk in that. One of the things that African Americans don't understand about people from the islands or people, you know, other people of color from other nations is because, number one, they have a nation that they call their own, and they're proud to be citizens of that nation. And they want to convey that, hey, they are not, you know, they are not like us, because we have really no concept of our citizenship. We're in a nation that never wanted us to be citizens. And if they get granted us citizenship, they said, oh, you're three-fifths of a citizen. We never understood kingship. King was sovereign and that his word was the highest authority that there was in the land. And so our concept of citizenship is not the same as theirs. And they say, hey, we fought for ours and we died and we rebelled, but you just continued to stay where you were at. Even after you were freed, you stayed in the land of your captivity. That's why they have a problem with us. Even though they're us, they chose to fight for the British during the Revolutionary War. They chose to fight for, and they were dropped off in the island. We chose to fight for the North. Our forefathers chose to fight for the North, and the North re-enslaved them. And so that's really the deal there. All right, so, but we are present-day citizens, and this is what should unite us if we understand that our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven is right now. And that is what should be that unites us, our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, not our citizenship in the United States of America or South America or Canada or any other country. We are fellow citizens with Elohim's people. Our citizenship is in heaven. Elohim has brought us into the kingdom of the Son on the earth. So we are like ambassadors. When we become children of the Most High, when we get our citizenship, we are like ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven in the earth. And we are supposed to invoke our diplomatic privileges. But if you don't understand that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're not going to invoke any of your diplomatic privileges from the kingdom of heaven. You got to know what they are to invoke them. You got to be living by the laws to invoke them. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. Just doesn't work well. And the world will not recognize it. So I pray we can get this. Why is it so important? Religion postpones citizenship to the future. So why is it so important that you understand that you're a citizen now? Religious leaders tell their people, you will be a citizen someday. You will be in the kingdom. You will have joy later. You will be a full citizen, but not today. Not yet. The kingdom has not come yet. Well, I'm here to tell you that they are wrong. The kingdom has come. Kingdom citizenship is never postponed. The kingdom of Elohim is present and functional on the earth right now. If you have been born again, then you have been naturalized as a kingdom citizen right now. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, beloved, the key word there is now, not later, not going to be, not becoming. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. Now are we citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Now are we diplomats of the kingdom of heaven. Now are we ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Now, not later. Not in the future. That's why you have to live it now. Are we the sons of Elohim? But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He walked this earth as a normal man, and he only showed his true self on the Mount of Transfiguration to a couple of the apostles. His true nature, his true body glowing like the sun. So we got to understand that that part will come later, but we are citizens now. We're not waiting to become. And so we have to walk according to that. You can never appropriate what you postpone. You can never have what you put off. That's what that means. You can, if you are not acting and in accordance that you are a child of the Most High, a citizen of the kingdom, if you are saying that you are weak and human and vulnerable, and that you can't be what the Most High wants you to be, you're frail and what have you, then you're not worthy of your citizenship. That's what Messiah was talking about. If you can't love him more than you love anybody else, you're not worthy. If you're not ready to give up everything in this life to obtain the kingdom, you're not worthy. So you can never appropriate what you postpone. I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll be that tomorrow. No, you need to be that now, today, this very second, for the rest of your life. You need to keep in mind that the greatest enemy of the kingdom is religion. Because religion will tell you that the kingdom is not coming yet. Religion keeps pushing the kingdom away from people. You can't get it now. You can't experience it now. You can't benefit from it now. Wait until later. You got to wait till you die. You got to wait till you're resurrected. And so people suffer because they don't realize that they have authority. If you are truly a citizen of the Most High, you can petition the Most High. And he says, whatsoever you ask him for the kingdom's sake, he will do it. Says he will do it. Because you have the authority to ask. You have the authority to not postpone it. But you got to be asking in his will. Can't be asking for, you know, to give you things that you want for you personally, because your will should line up with his will. Your desire should line up with his desire. Most High, what do I need to achieve the kingdom on the earth? Give me that. Oh, you need a vehicle. Well, Most High, give me a vehicle so that I might witness, that I might pick up those saints that you want to be picked up, that I might use it for the glory of the kingdom, not so that I can go to the club or take it on vacation because that's what I want to do. Okay. The religion tells you that you got to wait for the reward. And then you got those prosperity teachers that, you know, if you give this, then you're going to prosper. You got to give the Most High what the Most High is wanting from you. If he tells you to give your land, you give your land. If he tells you to give your money, you give your money. If he says to give your time, you give your time. It's what the Most High tells you. He requires of you. He doesn't bless us all the same. And so we got to understand that. Go to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. Because you cannot beat the Most High in giving. You cannot beat him in anything. The Psalms 24:1. The earth is Yah, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything on this earth belongs to the Most High. We simply use them. I don't care if we think it never existed. We think somebody made this or whatever. They made it out of something that was already on the earth. The Most High says, hey, that metal that you put into that transistor belongs to me. That crystal that you put into that watch, that quartz watch, belongs to me. The metal in the quartz watch, the tin, the aluminum, whatever it is, belongs to me. To tell you the truth, you belong to me. Everything belongs that's in this world belongs to the Most High. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. The book of Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life? He's really wanting his citizenship in the kingdom. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now the church, I don't know how the church says, well, we ain't up under those commandments. We ain't up under those laws. Messiah said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. That's the law. He saith unto him, now, a lot of us listen to other teachers, and I know we do, and you got other teachers out there that will tell you that this is all you have to keep. As though Messiah was naming a complete laundry list, okay? So he asked which. Yeshua said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now, if you notice that, you don't hear, you don't see keep the Sabbath. But you also don't hear that you're only supposed to worship the Most High Elohim himself. And that you're not supposed to, you know, create graven images and bow down to them. You don't see those. So they will say, oh, you ain't got to do those things. He didn't name the Sabbath there. But how stupid is that? That really is stupid, okay, to say, hey, Messiah didn't say you had to keep those things, so you don't have to keep them. You really think Messiah's going to tell you not to honor the Most High? Telling him to take care of his fellow brother. All these things that he just named have to deal with your fellow brother. You think he's going to say, oh, and you don't worry about it. You have to worship the Most High. You don't have to keep his Sabbath. So we use, you know, the scriptures unlawfully and in a twisted way. The young man says, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Yeshua said unto him, if thou will be perfect. And, you know, we're supposed to be seeking what? Perfection. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. If thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You mean I give up all these things that I either inherited from my father, and I continue to grow, or I grew myself? And give it to the poor so that I can be perfect. I don't want to pay that cost. I don't want to do that. That's what he did. That he made up his mind, his possessions were more precious than eternal life. His possessions were more precious than getting his citizenship. Then said Jesus unto, or Yeshua unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he's going to count on his riches. Not going to count on the Most High. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Elohim. Now this rich man, This eye of a camel going through an eye of a needle is not a sewing needle. That's not what he's saying. There was a gate in Jerusalem, tall and narrow. and it was too narrow for a camel to go through that was laid, that had, you know, goods on it. And if a man was on top of that camel, he couldn't go through that gate either. So the camel being laden down with goods of this earth represents what the riches of this world. And unless you unpacked that camel and got rid of those riches and, you know, carried them through by hand, you couldn't get them across there on that camel. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about a literal sewing needle. Talking about an archway in Jerusalem that was too narrow for a packed camel to go through. So he said, you know, it's impossible for that camel with those packs to go through it. It's impossible for a rich man, if he's counting on his riches and don't give the glory to the Most High, and does what he says, is easier for that camel to go through that eye with his load on him than it is for that rich man to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. Okay, so we can't count on the riches of the world. We can't count on money and possession. We can't count on what the governments of this world will do for us. We can only count on the Most High. We can't even count on what we would do for ourselves. Because if the government decided to bankrupt the bank, all of us that have money in the bank, what would we do? We would be poor just like everybody else. That's what happened during the Great Depression. People went to the bank to get their money out. No money. They enslaved all of their lives and their security within their money. And then they went to the bank and had no money. A lot of them killed themselves. You know, threw themselves out of skyscrapers and things like that. Because as far as they were concerned, their security and their life was over. So the Most High says, we are to store up riches in heaven. And we are to do the job that he gave us to do on this earth, and that is the establishment of his kingdom on the earth. And count on him to provide. Let's continue. We are citizens of a new country. So embracing the concept of the kingdom of heaven should be a priority. Each and every person listening to this message, it should be your priority to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. In doing so, we will come to the understanding that Elohim's constitution, we understand his constitution more clearly. You know, I think that a lot of people can make this a fact of life in their own life because they don't really accept the kingdom of the Most High. They don't accept his constitution. They don't accept his statutes, his laws, his commandments. That is the laws and commandments of a new country that they have defected into. They say they have defected into that country, but then they want to be outlaws in that country. Once we become believers of Yeshua HaMashiach and enter the kingdom of Elohim, we change country. We surrender our citizenship in the world, or should I say, this world, to become naturalized citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we are in this world, but not of this world. That's what that means. We are to be in this world, but not of it. Supposed to be of the kingdom of heaven, but in this world. That would be like you being a citizen of the United States, but you're at the embassy in Spain, or in Germany, or in Russia, or in some other country. You're in that country, but you're not a citizen of that country. We are in this world, but we're not supposed to be citizens of this world. We're supposed to be citizens of the kingdom of the Most High. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. The book of John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. If the world hates you, know that it hated me also. Now, this is Messiah speaking. And if you're doing this the right way, trust me, most saints won't even like you. You think you're holier than thou. You think you're all this in a bag of chips. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. That's why I tell a lot of these brothers, hey, if you popular in the world and the world loves you, it's because you being what? World. Because you're being world. And you're being like them. Okay? So you shouldn't be loved by the world. You should be hated by the world because the world hated your king. And if you're being like your king, the world should hate you as well. I don't care if it's the saint. If they're being worldly, and they're not being like our king, then they should be hated of the world. They are just like the world, okay? But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you want to be popular with the world and still be in this walk with the Most High, then something wrong. You got it twisted. You really do. You got the thing wrong. Okay? And a lot of people will congregate together because what is being taught them and preached them is not requiring them to make any kind of change. It's not requiring them to seek perfection. It's not requiring them to be like Messiah. It is requiring them to believe that Messiah is the Savior without them having to do anything. It's not how it works. We enter into the kingdom through Mashiach, through Christ, who is most definitely the doorway. Elohim has accepted us, naturalized us as kingdom citizens, and then commissioned us as ambassadors of his government so that we can help others to find the doorway as well. Now, having said that, we only have a certain amount of time to fulfill our purpose. This is why we have to embrace the kingdom concept so that we won't misrepresent him with our message. The focus point here, regardless of where we are, whether at our place of employment, in a social function or whatever, we must remember that we are kingdom citizens, not some religious group or denomination which goes under the banner Christian. We are kingdom citizens in a foreign land, and the authority of our government backs us up. All of our rights, privileges, and benefits of our citizenship apply fully to us, even though we reside in a foreign land. We keep in mind, at any time we can call on the resources of our king. Do you recall what Yeshua did while he was here on the earth? When 5,000 people needed to be fed, Yeshua's disciples saw only the limited resources of this world, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. However, Yeshua looked into his father's pantry and saw enough to feed everyone and still have 12 baskets full left over. Now, if that isn't Elohim taking care of his citizens, I don't know what is. And that's how we have to believe. We have to understand that we have that authority. That's why Messiah said, you know, his disciples really didn't understand, because it wasn't but a couple of days later, rather than 4,000 or 5,000 or 7,000. And they're still saying, we don't have enough money to feed all these people. Didn't understand that all they had to do was petition the Father in heaven with what they had. Please note that this was not a miracle. In the kingdom, it is a standard occurrence. Only in this world is it going to be a miracle. You know, if you are used to the Most High answering your prayers and doing what it is that he does naturally, the Most High provides even for the wicked, just like he provides for the good every day. And every day, the good and the wicked eat on this planet. and man is destroying. The Most High created the seas and all that there is in, and all the animals on the earth and the crops and everything to be able to feed the population of this planet every day. And that's not by supernatural means. That is by the laws that he set up, the laws of nature. Now, just imagine if your Elohim wanted to superimpose himself. I'm going to multiply that fish supernaturally. I'm not going to have to lay eggs and grow up to be more fish. I'm going to multiply its atoms and reproduce it 7, 8, 9, 10,000 times to feed whoever is there. Remember, you've heard this said before, and I'm going to say this. We don't serve a supernatural God. We serve a naturally super God. That is just his way. So we might consider it a miracle. It's just the way he does. But he wants us to give him the credit and worship him for it. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And he's talking to Israel. And he's talking to his saints. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith God of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. I don't think any of us have received a blessing that we cannot have room enough to receive. But the Most High says, if you do what I say, do, I will pour you out a blessing that way. I will pour you out a blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Remember that our kingdom is one of abundant supply. That's why when I said on the land, we don't want to just produce enough food just to make it. We want to produce enough food. We want to produce food in abundance. We want to produce electricity in abundance. We want to produce water in abundance because that's the nature of our kingdom. The Most High doesn't just give. He don't want us to be greedy. He don't want us to have more than what we need. So if we produce more than enough, then we should be sharing so that none of us lack. And then that we share with the poor, with the fatherless, the widow, the homeless. We need to change our poverty mindset for a provisioning mindset. As long as we tend to our Father's business, he will provide everything we will need. No matter what our situation, we can focus on the kingdom, claim our kingdom rights, and say with confidence, my Elohim will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He's going to give us favor. A lot of these places think they're going to tell us no. I already know it, but he's telling me they write it this way. And they're going to see it your way. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Now we read this in our foundations of discipleship. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, whatever we need. We just got to make sure that we're seeking the kingdom first. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my Elohim shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Yeshua HaMashiach. You got to believe that, the concept of dual citizenship. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The book of James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before Elohim and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from in the world. Take care of the poor and the needy, those that can't take care of themselves, and keep yourself unspotted, sinless. Keep in mind that the kingdom government exercises jurisdiction over their citizens, no matter where they are. I also would like to mention that the church isn't a religious place. When Yeshua established his church, Ecclesiasta, he didn't have a religious institution in mind. His purpose was to set up an embassy of his kingdom, a place where the kingdom citizens, old and new, could receive aid to be trained in the ways, laws, language, and customs of the kingdom, and to be equipped with the kingdom resources they need for effective life in the kingdom colony on the earth. That's why I said we were to have all things in common, that none of us should lack. At first, we were only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. Let's look at this progression. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are the first Simon, and who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staff. For the workman is worthy of his meat, of his hire. A lot of people don't want to pay the man or the woman of God for their service. And they think that you should just be poor or they should just receive a blessing. He says the workman is worthy of his hire, of his meat, of his meal. And unto whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire in it. Who in it is worthy. Now hear what Messiah is saying, because this is what you're supposed to be doing, you and I. Whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you come from there. Sent means from there. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust off of your feet. You know, people want to say, oh, you're not supposed to be condemning anybody. That's not the gospel. What did Messiah tell you? If they won't receive you, if they won't hear your words, shake the dust off of your feet. They have proven themselves not worthy of eternal life, of redemption. And you got to follow orders. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. This is what Israel and what the world has always done. Well, that just don't seem right to me. I don't read anywhere in that scripture where he said, what seems right to you? Remember, all kingdom citizens carry dual citizenship, where citizens of a country may hold simultaneous legal citizenship in another. Children born to citizens of one country who are living in another country generally become citizens of both countries. It is no different with the kingdom of heaven. All kingdom citizens are simultaneous citizens of the kingdom of heaven as well as citizens of the earthly nation of their birth or their naturalization. We don't give up our earthly citizenship when we become citizens of the kingdom. And in the same way, we don't have to be in heaven to benefit from heavenly jurisdiction. Our citizenship is constant, and the kingdom government exercises jurisdiction over us wherever we are. Just notice that the kingdom of heaven overrules the kingdom of men. Remember in the Constitution how Yeshua prayed, chapter 17, verses 15 through 16. John chapter 17, verses 15 through 16. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. So I didn't, ask the Father to take us out of this world, to keep us in this world, and to keep us from the evil one. Keep us from Satan. Protect us from him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, or our King. Even though we are in a foreign country, actually the earth is a colony, our registration is not here. When the Constitution says our citizenship is in heaven, it means that our registration, our official documentation, is not on this earth. We are born, our names are written in heaven's official registry, the Lamb's Book of Life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, you are under the same yoke I'm under. We're up under the same duty, the same burden, whatever that burden is of Messiah. It says, but take my yoke, it's easier than the yoke of the world. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. As valid confirmation that we are one citizen of heaven, even though we still live in the colony. So even though we are physically away from the kingdom, we are still citizens of the kingdom. Let's go to John chapter 18. The book of John chapter 18. And let's get verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Yeshua and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Yeshua answered, saying, thou sayest the thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Yeshua answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Yeshua answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. The book of Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. Constitutional scripture. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Elohim himself will be with them and be their Elohim. This is what the end result will be. You have read Yeshua replied to Pilate and how he acknowledged his kingship. In fact, he stated plainly to Pilate, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause was I born, and for this cause have I come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now the question, what was the truth? It was that the kingdom of heaven had arrived, the only message Yeshua preached. So Christ's kingdom was in the world, but not of this world. It was from another place, but also resident here on the earth. It is here now, but it is not from here. So all kingdom citizens possess dual citizenship in the heaven, in heaven and on earth. This status will continue until the day where the present heaven and earth pass away and the king recreates them both. Then there will be no more separation because the time will have come. I know I can shout thinking about this, and you should shout, be able to shout, thinking of the day when Messiah establishes, destroys this world, and there's only one kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. There's only one government, the kingdom of heaven. He has put down all principalities and powers when his name shall be one in the earth. Hallelujah. On that day, the government of heaven will exercise full dominion over the earth under the co-regency of all the kingdom citizens. Until that time, our responsibility is to preach and teach the good news of the kingdom of heaven, no other gospel. The invisible citizenship. If the kingdom of heaven is here now, why can't we see it? That is because the kingdom of heaven is invisible. But the influence of the kingdom resides with and within us. For those of us who have permitted the governor to come into our lives, Messiah, neither shall they say, lo, here. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of Elohim is within you. It's within each of us. And he says, you know, the kingdom of heaven comes without observation. For example, you don't see the air, but yet you know it's there. You don't see oxygen, yet the evidence is there. Those of us who are under the kingdom authority live by the principles, laws, and laws that influence our behavior. Through this means, others will see evidence of the kingdom. In fact, all colonial governments and citizens are invisible. The fact that the kingdom of heaven is invisible does not mean that it has no impact. Yeshua taught this truth about the kingdom more than once. On one occasion, constitutional scripture, Luke chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of Elohim? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leaven. Now, we always think of leaven as sin. But leaven is just an agent, something that causes a reaction in something. When you and I enter into this world, we should cause a change to happen by our actions, by keeping the law, by showing the love of Elohim. So the kingdom is like that. Yeast works slowly but inexorably until the dough feels its influence. Once mixed with the dough, the yeast is invisible. But if you think that means no impact, just try baking without it. If you try to bake dough without yeast in it, you get flatbread. It will not rise. You don't see the reaction of the yeast on the what dough. Once having been asked about when the kingdom of Elohim would come, Yeshua replied like this. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Let's get verses 20 through 21. The book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of Elohim would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Elohim does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, or for indeed the kingdom of Elohim is within you. Remember, citizenship is invisible. The only way you can actually know someone is from the particular place is by listening to them. and observing their behavior over a period of time. Messiah also gave us the sign of what? Tongues. There is no way for people to tell by looking at us that we are citizens of the kingdom. Our language, our behavior should make that known to them. In other words, they should recognize us by our distinct culture, how we act. Are we following the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High? Are we rebel rousers? Are we acting like the world? Something different about y'all. Our culture. Culture is the product of language, ideals, and values of a people or a nation. Even though people cannot recognize us as a kingdom citizen by our outward appearance. I mean, we could wear, what, fringes, tassels. You can wear phylactery, and they say, oh, those are Hebrew Israelites. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are a citizen of the kingdom. Okay. But it should be by how we act, our distinct language. Not that we speak Hebrew, but that we're not talking worldly. Ideals and values should give us away. Our culture should reflect and reveal our citizenship as being here, but not from here. As being in the world, but not of the world. The job of citizen, and then we'll be done with this precept. The job of citizen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Matthew chapter 28 and verse, Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. And Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before Elohim and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That is what we are supposed to be doing. That is what we must do. The job of citizens. Spread this gospel, expand our borders, expand the borders of the kingdom, show the love of Elohim, take care of those that are needy. I pray that somebody was able to receive something from this precept, that you understand that you must defect from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Most High. And when you defect from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of the Most High, then you are agreeing to live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, of his kingdom. If you are already in that condition and you've received the Ruach HaKodesh, then people should know that you are a kingdom citizen by your actions. What you say, what you do, how you do it. If there are any questions, if you are online, if you press the number one, I will acknowledge that you have a question or a comment. If you are in the chat room, in the meeting room, if you open your mic, you can go ahead and if you are calling in to the 480 number, then I'm going to open up your mic, and you can say you have a comment or a question. All right. If there are no comments or no questions, then I'm going to close out this precept. And I pray that y'all bless you.
I pray that
you have a blessed evening. And we'll see you in the morning when we begin the times of the Gentiles. Remember that Tabernacles is coming up on September 25th. That will also be the new moon. And we will, not Tabernacle, I'm sorry, I said Tabernacle. Trumpet will be coming up on September 25th. It will also be the new moon, and we will be celebrating it. We pray that you all be in attendance. Invite family, friends, because, you know, it's one of our high holy feast days that we are supposed to keep. And it is my belief and understanding that this will be the time frame that, and like this, that when Messiah returns, since he will return with the trump of Elohim, with the trump of God, and with a loud voice, just like he arrived in Exodus chapter 19. So we will be going over Exodus chapter 19 when the Most High came down, and he scared the children of Israel with his presence. And the trumpet sounded long and hard and longer and louder and louder. And the people became very afraid. That's how his arrival is going to be in the future. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your staff.
Who are you? Shalom, Brother Miles, Sister Denise.
Shalom.
Sister LaGracia.
Sister Lorraine.
Where's she at?
She called into the line.
Oh, okay. Sister Lorraine.
All right, shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings to you, and see you guys in the morning.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Right, shalom.
Shalom, Brother Gary.
I love you.
Peace and blessings. Love you too, my brother. Take care.
Later.